Interest in your prayers tonight. I want to go back to the subject that we started last week, of that of the example that we have of the courage that the prophet Daniel manifested. Just very briefly on that portion of our thoughts about the prophet Daniel. It's very much in keeping with the way the Lord instructed Joshua to be strong and of a good courage. Jeremiah was told not to be afraid of their faces. And, of course, the Apostle Paul, in writing to Timothy, reminded him that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So when God calls us to something, then we have a lot of examples in Scripture of what the Lord would have us to do. If he's going to call us to do something, don't you know that he's going to help us, that he's going to provide the whatever opportunities are necessary? And so Daniel, being what seemed to be a teenager, I don't know that we're exactly told about what his age was when they carried him away, but if you do the calculations of what we do have, it seems that he was a teenager when he was carried into captivity. But he lived to be, I think, 85, the last mention of his age? 85, 86, that's something along there. And so for the 70 years that the children of Israel were in captivity, Daniel had a powerful influence over the affairs of the empires under which he served. Now, he didn't serve them. I mean, he did the service that was right as far as the job that he was given, but all the while he was serving the Lord. I mean, first and foremost, he served the Lord. And we found that right in the very first chapter, didn't we? He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat and the king's wine. All right? Boy, what an example that is for us today. To purpose in our heart that no matter what goes on in the world, we're going to serve the Lord. Okay? So there's two other things. I don't know that we need to... I don't know that I'll make a three-part series out of this, but there's a couple of other things that I want to talk about with regard to the example that Daniel gave us, and that being love and faithfulness. Love and faithfulness. You know, Daniel stood before some of the most powerful kings that have ever reigned. I mean, as far as the Babylonian Empire, as far as the Medes and the Persians, they were tremendous empires. I mean, if you probably studied them in school when you went through your history, world history classes. And, you know, I always joke about the fact that I preferred math, because if I got the principle, it didn't matter what the numbers were. But with history, they're always changing the numbers, you know. And so I wasn't all that interested in history until I started studying the Bible. And then I understood it really is his story. Okay? And when I thought back to those world empires, and you read the book of Daniel, and you see, wow, look what God laid out there for us. Those kings, that image that was that God gave Daniel, the interpretation of that image, and we could spend some time on that. When God even made Nebuchadnezzar forget the dream, but he was demanding an interpretation, a recounting of the dream and its interpretation. And I just marvel at God's wisdom in that. You know, if Nebuchadnezzar remembered the dream and he asked his interpreters to interpret, who knows if it would have been accurate or not? They could have told him anything. But he forgot the dream and didn't know the interpretation. And so when God gave it to Daniel, Daniel was able not only to tell him what the dream was, but also an interpretation of it. And so how marvelous our God is. So in addition to courage, I want to notice for a moment Daniel's love for God. Now, I don't know. I didn't do a search on this. This thought just came to my mind. I don't remember. Maybe some of you brethren can help me with this. I don't remember that it specifically says that Daniel loved God. But he sure did a lot to prove it. All right? It was through his actions that it manifested a deep and abiding love for God. And that's exactly what Jesus told us when he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so when we keep his commandments, when we walk in the way that's pleasing unto him, we are showing, we are declaring to all who have eyes to see, that we are declaring that we love God. How wonderful that is. That's what we want to do, isn't it? We want to show the world. You know, I've just been really... That's kind of been a recurring theme with me that as crazy as some of the things are in the world today, and as it seems like the powers that be, as far as this world affairs are concerned, have tried to push God out of everything that there is, what an opportunity we have as Christians to live our lives openly manifesting that we love God, whether it's by our words or whether our deeds. You know, Sir Francis of Assisi said, "We everywhere we go, we ought to preach the gospel and, if necessary, use words." So I hope that others can see us and see Christ in us. So I don't remember that the word specifically says that Daniel loved God. It does say that Daniel was greatly beloved. When you get over toward the latter part of it, you'll find that the angel said that thou art greatly beloved. All right? So if God loved Daniel, we know Daniel loved God by his actions. All right? So, and that's more important, that we manifest that demeanor that shows our love. You know, when you come to the New Testament, John, 1 John 4:18, he says, there is no fear in love. So we've been talking about the courage that Daniel had, Daniel manifested. And so the New Testament ties the two together. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Right? So I've often used the example of a parent who loves their child, and their child all of a sudden gets into something that's going to be a great threat to them, and that parent is going to do whatever it can to try to save that child. And I like the illustration of a parent that can't even swim. But if their child fell into a river, they'd probably do what they could to go in after it. Okay? Because perfect love casts out the fear. The fear wouldn't keep them from trying to do whatever they could to try to save their child. Well, just take that and apply it. What if Daniel was fearful of the king when they were first carried into Babylon? He might not have been, what if his love hadn't been as strong? Let's put it that way. His devotion and his commitment to serving God. What if it hadn't been so strong? He might have been fearful of the king. He might have been fearful of consequences. He might have been fearful to do the things that he did. But because he was committed to serving the Lord, and by that he's showing his love, and by that he wasn't fearful of whatever the king might do. Remember the three Hebrew children? Shadrach, Meshach, I know that's their Babylonian names, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, okay? They weren't fearful. Why, the commandment was made, and they didn't bow down. And so the king was in great wrath, and he gave them a second chance. Maybe they just didn't hear. Oh, they heard all right. But they were not going to bow down. And so they heard the music was played again, but they still wouldn't bow down. They were committed to being faithful to God. And God blessed them, didn't he? Just like he would bless Daniel eventually in the den of lions. All right? So perfect love casts out fear. And you know, reminding ourselves of the love that God has for us. Now, I don't think there's anybody here tonight that forgets it, but I'm just saying it, whenever we hear it again, it stirs our heart, it stirs our devotion, it stirs our commitment to serve a God who loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son to this world to suffer and die to redeem us from our sins. We didn't deserve it, and we didn't, we couldn't do anything about it. We, in our own state, we wouldn't even have a desire to do anything about our condition. Wouldn't have any desire to seek after God. But God in his love and in his mercy reached down all the way to where we were and quickened us. By grace, you're saved. Oh, as we think about it, I tell you every time, that's why we love to hear the old story of Jesus and his love. That stirs me up. Causes me to want to be as faithful as I can in serving him. So that perfect love casts out fear. All right? Now, that fear, if it ever comes, and there's times when things happen and you know, it may catch us off guard, or it may be a sudden thing, or whatever the case, it might be some bad news without knowing what's going to be the consequence there. And it's just a natural thing that fear is going to grip us. But the sooner we can remember the love of God, the sooner we can remember that we're in the Lord's hands, that we're safe in the blood of Jesus, that no matter what comes upon us in this life, we'll be blessed to be with him in heaven's pure world and all the family of God without the loss of one. And so, but if we get caught up in the things of this world, if we put too much emphasis on things and this life, you know, remember Proverbs 29:25 says, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." All right? So if Daniel had been fearful of the king, that would have been a snare. Okay? "But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." That's the safest place to be in it. Trust in God. Whatever the consequences might be, trusting the Lord. So, Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" That whole psalm is wonderful, isn't it? You know, let me read a little bit more of it. Psalm 27. See, I stopped at "Whom shall I fear?" "The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" I tell you, when we're trusting the Lord and leaving the consequences to him, that casts out the fear that we have. Excuse me. Like I said, the whole psalm is good, but let's see. Verse 7, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. Aren't we thankful that God hears the cries of his children? Now, it's not always that he comes rushing to our aid, but he hears the cries of his people. He knows what we need and whatever his will is, and he's well able to supply it. All right. When thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. That's what we need to do on a regular basis. Seek his face. As a matter of fact, that was part of the remedy in 2 Chronicles 7:14, when he said, if my people which call by my name will humble themselves and pray, and what? And seek my face. We got to leave these worldly things aside if we're going to seek the Lord and his help. So he says, hide not thy face from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. Daniel was trusting the Lord. And by doing that, he showed, without any doubt, a great love and commitment to serving the Lord. All right? Verse 13. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I tell you, when you think about the goodness of our God, when you think about all the good things he provides, all the good that's embraced in his eternal purpose and what it was accomplished through his Son, the Lord Jesus, I tell you, the goodness of the Lord. So he says in verse 14, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. This keeps coming back to courage, doesn't it? Okay, so when we have that love and that commitment and we're trusting the Lord, that we want to serve him and be faithful to him, and bless your hearts, he is able to supply our every need. And you know, this is Old Testament that we're talking about in the book of Daniel. Okay, so we hadn't heard the fullness of the gospel at that point, and yet here he's showing a great faithfulness and a great love for God. So let's spend a little bit of time on his faithfulness. His faithfulness. He was carried away from home, as we said earlier, teenager, somewhere there. Carried a long way. It was quite a journey to Babylon from there. So, you know, some people would say, well, a young person, long way from home, who's going to care how they live? Well, when you love the Lord and when you're committed to serving him, it makes a difference, doesn't it? Okay? And Daniel showed in that very first chapter, it showed that he had purpose, he had determined, he had purposed in his heart that he was going to be faithful. All right? 70 years is a long time. Remember Elder Dolph Painter preaching that message on the 70-year plan. If you haven't heard it, I encourage you to look it up. And he's referring to, you know, 70 years. A lot of those people who were up in years, when they were carried away captive, there was no reason for them to think they were ever coming back. If they were going to be there for 70 years, that's almost a lifetime. A lot of people, it is a lifetime, all right? And so when we think about what Daniel being at his age, carried away, and realizing that it's going to be 70 years, I'm satisfied that the thought entered their mind, those of that age, you know, will I ever live long enough to come back? But it was important for them to continue to serve God. It wasn't just a matter of serving him while you're in Jerusalem. It's a matter of serving God wherever. Isn't that a wonderful lesson for us today? That no matter what, where we are, we're not out of his watchful eye. And we should serve him as best we can, no matter what the circumstances are. He's been so good to us. He's given us eternal life. He's watching over us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So why wouldn't we want to be faithful to him, no matter what our circumstances are that we face? Okay? And so for 70 years, they were going to be in captivity. Now, they weren't in Babylon for 70 years, but they were in captivity for 70 years. All right? And so Daniel served under Nebuchadnezzar. And then there's no mention, from what I can tell, Belshazzar was a grandson, okay, of Nebuchadnezzar. So whatever happened to in between, I don't know, but that's the next mention of a king that Daniel served under. Then we had Darius, okay, of the Medes. Then Cyrus, the Persian. Okay, so those were very powerful kings. And in all of those reigns of the kings, there was Daniel. And he was being faithful to God. And even when Belshazzar saw the handwriting on the wall, And it was every indication that this was a very ungodly man, yet there were those there that remembered Daniel and his wisdom and his faithfulness to his God. And so in all of those years, we find the scriptures bear a testimony that Daniel was faithful to God. All right? Let's see, let's look at Daniel chapter 6. When Darius took over in reigning of the kingdom, let's begin reading in verse 1. It's hard to jump in the middle of some of this without getting the right context. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. Now that's the known world in that day. Okay? And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, did you get that? That the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Now, you hear what's going on here? Of all of these provinces, of all the known world, and all these princes that were to report to three men, who would then report to the king, Daniel was the first of those three. And if that king was like a lot of them in those days, then they left a tremendous amount of work to be done to these presidents and so forth. And the king really didn't get involved a whole lot in those affairs. And so my point is, look at the tremendous influence that Daniel had on the people of this world. Wow. And look at the character of this man that's in such position of power. Oh, that we had such a man as that in such a position today. Things could be vastly different, couldn't it? See, because in that day, they had power to do things. It didn't get bogged down in bureaucracy like it oftentimes does today. They could get things done, okay? They could make decrees quickly, all right? So Daniel was the first of these three that was over the 120. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Wow. That just warms my heart to know that a good man, a man that feared God, a man that loved God, a man that was bold in the spirit is in such a position in this world. But you know what happened? those presidents didn't like Daniel. As a matter of fact, later on it's going to say that Daniel. He wasn't one of them. He was of the captivity. And they were jealous of him being in such power. And that's why they convinced the king to pass the decree no man could ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days save of thee, O king, and he shall, O king, if any man shall ask this decree, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Well, Daniel's not a part of that. But those presidents convinced the king to pass the law. So Darius signed the writing, verse 9. Verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day. Oh, wait a minute. This is in direct violation of that decree. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. I love that verse. Because it speaks of his commitment to continue not to defile himself, but he's going to serve God and he's willing to face the consequences because he knows that God is faithful. If he's faithful to God, he knows God's going to be faithful to him. I love that principle, don't you? And that principle is alive and well today. If we trust God and if we serve him, we can leave the consequences to the Lord. Okay? All right. And so you remember the story. Those men they couldn't find anything at fault with Daniel, so they had to look to how he went about his religion. And so that's why they passed the decree. And so they started watching him, and there it was. His window was wide open toward Jerusalem. He was praying 3 times a day in direct violation of the decree. And so they brought the accusation to the king. Well, it grieved the king's heart. He'd been tricked, and he knew it. But he also loved Daniel. I mean, here's a man that was faithful. Here's a man that was committed. Here's a man that was doing what was right. And I'm satisfied from just what I've read in the scriptures that the king was very comfortable having Daniel in that position. And now, because of something he himself has signed, Daniel's going to be cast into a den of lions. Not just a lion's den, right? Den of lions. All right? Verse 18 of chapter 6. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. Listen to that. This king was concerned. And listen to what he said. When he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice, not with confidence. He was worried. He cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel, and the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God. He knew Daniel was servant of the living God. He didn't know the living God, but he knew Daniel was his servant, and Daniel was trusting in him. Is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? I wonder how much of a pause there was. Probably not much. Then Daniel said unto the king, O king, live forever. Can't you just see in your own mind the king's countenance changing? When Daniel speaks in such a way, O king, live forever. My God. I think there's an indication here that it's my God. It may not be your God, but it's my God. But the king did say, is your God, whom you serve continually, able to deliver thee from the lion? Daniel said, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth that they may not hurt me. For as much as before him, innocency was found in me. And also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Daniel had not done anything to offend God, and he had not done anything, and this is important now, he had not done anything to offend the king. Even though the king signed a decree that he violated, as long as Daniel was serving God, he was innocent. It might have been, you know, a technicality that they saw, but God declared him as innocent. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. What an example to us today. Because he believed in his God. And so you know what happened. Then the king commanded that those that had accused Daniel, they would be cast into the den of lions. You know, whereas some might accuse that, well, the lions weren't hungry. Well, this proves otherwise, doesn't it? Because they break all their bones. All right? They pounced upon them. All right? They knew what they were doing. All right? As far as punishment and things like that. But not only did those, but look at the consequences here. Let's not leave this out. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions. Them, their children, and their wives. Wow. There was consequences to that, wasn't there? And the lions had the mastery of them and break all their bones in pieces or ever they came at the bottom of the den. I want to take the time to read the rest of this chapter. It's just some of the best reading in all of scriptures. Because if we had leaders that would decree such a decree as that today, our lives, our culture would see a great improvement, couldn't it? I'm talking about those who know the Lord would be more free to do the things that would be pleasing to the Lord. Those obstacles that a lot of our officials are putting in the way to hinder things, a free exercise of religious liberties and so forth. All right, so listen. Then, verse 25, then King Darius wrote unto all the people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth. That is, all over their kingdom. Okay. Peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree. Now this time, it's the king making the decree, and not some deception here. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, which was vast, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. Wow. Hey, I like the intent. I'm sure their enforcement of it was not not 100% successful, but I like what the decree was, all right? Because this is what we should do. Tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever. And his kingdom, now this is not just the thoughts of Darius. This is inspired scripture. Okay? For he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Wow. His kingdom. And Daniel had said, back in, was it chapter 2, when the image was erected and the stone that crushed the feet, you know, that crushed the image, that in the days of those kings, in the days of the Roman Empire, saying, he shall set up a kingdom, God would set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. So it's not the first time we found that thought in this book. All right, kingdom that shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. Okay. Well, we know that this world will come to an end, but he'll reign forever. Okay. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. Verse 28. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. And of course, we know that when Cyrus comes along, that Daniel has been reading the books. And he reminded of, or learns, or reminded of the fact that the captivity was going to be 70 years. And so they're getting close to that time. Perhaps they were right on it. And so we know that Cyrus is the one that issues the decree to allow them to go back to Jerusalem. All right? But God was working in all of that. God had said it was going to be 70 years captivity. And so at the end of that, then God was working in the heart of Cyrus. And boy, it's just wonderful that you go over to Isaiah and you read how that through prophecy, a long time before Cyrus came along, the scriptures mentions him by name and what God would do. Okay? So my point in all of that is that God used Daniel in a powerful way. So what do we see here? And a great example of love that fosters courage, that energizes faith. And look what God was willing to do with such a man. I mean, some of the clearest and greatest prophecies in all the scriptures was given to Daniel. So as we think about the example that Daniel is for us in the scriptures, he was devoted to praying to God three times a day, even when it looked like, or even when the decree was signed that there would be penalty for it, he continued to do that. And there's so much more that we could say about that. But his lasting testimony, let's get a little bit out of chapter 9. And I won't get into the 70 weeks and all of that that he speaks of, but Daniel offers a tremendous prayer. It's a long prayer. I won't take time to read it, but in chapter 9, verse 3, Daniel says, "And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, Lord, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly. and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets, which spake in the name of thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. Listen to what he says. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces. And isn't that the consequence of rejecting God's word? Confusion of faces. As at this day, to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon them, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. God's word's true. And if he says there'll be consequences, then they're going to suffer the consequences when they disobey God. In this testimony, if I would take the time, the rest of that prayer is wonderful as well. But in verse 20, and whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. And then he begins to give that prophecy of what's going to happen and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how that in his day, what he would accomplish in providing a sacrifice for sins and the end of transgression, okay? So, right up to the end, Daniel was faithful to God. And then a few more verses. Chapter 12. I'll tell you, instead of me just picking out a verse, it's only 13 verses. Let's just read Daniel chapter 12. Because what we're talking about here is the faithfulness, the faithful example that Daniel provided for us, and how the scripture shows that God blessed this man for his faithfulness. Chapter 12. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was. Such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, "How long shall it be to the end of these wonders?" And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and an half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, "O my Lord, what shall the end of these things be?" And he said, "Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the end of time. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 and 30 days. But go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days." What a message that he was given. Go thy way and rest. He had been faithful to God. A lot of things is going to have to happen after he is passed from the scene of this life. But bless your hearts, he'll stand in the end. As we think about Daniel, the days in which he lived, the circumstances that he served under, the heathen kings that he served, he may have served in their administration, but all the while he was serving God. He was faithful to God. Now, I'll admit there's a lot of the things that's spoken of here that I don't fully understand, but I can see the faithfulness of God. I can see how much Daniel loved God and the courage that he had in serving God and letting the consequences be what they may. He was going to serve God. He was going to be faithful to God and not defile himself. And he trusted God would take care of the consequences. And we see that throughout the book of Daniel, don't we? With the three Hebrew children, with Daniel, God is faithful and he's able. And so as we understand that in chapter 9, when he gave that prophecy, it showed of the coming of the Messiah and what Messiah would accomplish when he came. And so some of the greatest prophecies we have in all Scripture was given unto this man who the angel said was greatly beloved. May God help us to remember the faithfulness, the love, and the courage that Daniel had. And may we trust God. We may not feel like that we've accomplished much in this life, but if we're faithful to God, we'll be doing whatever he would have us to do, and we'll have a faithful example for others to see that might encourage them to follow the Lord and trust him no matter what we're facing. You know, there's things that we can hear about in our day that sounds like, you know, there could be some awful things ahead of us. I don't know. There's so many things that you hear nowadays, you just don't know who to believe. Okay? And so those things can come and go. But God's still on his throne. We can still trust the Lord. And we know what he's told us as far as how we should live our lives, trusting him. And so as long as we do that, I just believe he's going to take care of us. We can rest in him. All right. May the Lord bless you is our prayer.